O God, giver of life and source of freedom, we know that all we have is received from your hand. Teach us to share your gifts generously. Send the Holy Spirit to work through us, bringing your message to those we serve, that we may bear witness to the love of Jesus in our lives. With grateful hearts we pray. Amen. It's St. Paul's Day. We are celebrating our patronal feast. I suspect St. Paul was chosen to be our patron because he was a missionary, and this was truly mission territory for the Church of England back in 1737 when we were founded. 281 years later, the choice of Paul as the patron of this community still makes good sense. Paul was a Jewish convert who became a disciple of Jesus and who made his principal mission among the Gentiles, the outsiders. And today, we continue to proclaim God's radical welcome for everyone, no matter how alike or different they may be from any one of us. Here, no one is ever turned away from hearing that message because of their gender, ethnicity, race, sexual orientation, age, socioeconomic status, or whether they are believers or not. And everyone is invited as a guest at God's table. Radical hospitality is in our DNA. We're doing something a little different this morning. Our parish wardens, Louis Truax and Bob Gelito, are here with me to offer you some food for thought about the importance of our St. Paul's community and what we are called to do to keep it true to its mission, vibrant in its ministry, and financially healthy. I'll begin by asking the question, why the need for church? What are we here for? And I'll take us to the gospel story we hear today, in which Jesus confronts a person being tortured by demons. Now, we sophisticated 21st century folk may find this a bit surreal. We'd likely send that person for a psychiatric evaluation. But let's stretch the metaphor of the unclean spirit and think about how many people are bound by hopelessness, depression, anxiety, fear, and even dread of the future. When Jewish storyteller Isaac Singer was asked in an interview, "Are we living in a time when the evil one is triumphing?" he answered, "I would say that we are always in such a time. I would say that human life is one big crisis. The moment you have conquered one crisis, there is already another one lurking. But the hope is that the crisis does not last forever. And beyond all this crisis, all this darkness, there is a great light." I believe that people desperately want to see that light, to have an anchor in their lives, a place where they can feel at least somewhat grounded, accepted and valued just as they are, and comforted by the knowledge that God loves them unconditionally, and challenged to become better people than they were yesterday. A place where they can learn how to talk with their partners, families, and their friends and their children about the important values that bind us together as fellow sojourners in this crazy yet amazing world. A place where they know they will find support in times of their own darkness, and where the care given to make worship uplifting and inspiring in its ritual, its music, the prayers, and the preaching will help them face the week ahead. Here, we look to the great light that Singer speaks of, the great light who is Jesus, who in the words of Episcopal priest Walter Russell Bowie spoke to the wildness in the possessed man. "Be still," Jesus said, "and come out of him." And suddenly all that was tormenting the man's mind left him. He stood before Jesus, quieted and healed. Faced with the many and huge crises of life, I think we all just want to leave here each week, quieted and healed. This place is our beacon, our refuge, and our strength. As Thomas once said to Jesus, "Where else can we go, Lord? Where else can we go? Where else can we go to find the treasure of what is in this community of faith? To ensure that we are here for those who are here and for those yet to come, there is a challenge before us."
Good morning. There are many things that make St. Paul's St. Paul's, but above all else, it is the radical welcome. You can take the wherever, whoever, whatever, fill in the blank for your own self, and that is what's welcome here. Everybody, no matter what. We also stand for other things besides the radical welcome. We practice and we want excellence in worship and music, and you see that week in and week out. We have so many different services, including our normal Sunday worship, the Compline on Sunday evenings, the Celtic Eucharist on Thursday evenings, and Evensongs throughout the year. We have the choristers program and the amazing adult choir, which you're hearing all today. We also have a very vibrant outreach and social justice program. They do Christmas and Lent differently. There's tutoring. There's great adult education that we've had. And we've got a very vibrant race and social justice group. We're also very engaged in pastoral care, whether it's bringing communion to shut-ins or visiting shut-ins for people who can't come to church, or those involved in the prayer shawl ministry. I could go on and on about all of the good things that St. Paul's does. That's just the tip of the iceberg. All of us who've walked through the doors of St. Paul's have done so for different reasons. It may be that we're new to the community and are looking for a church. It may be that we heard that the music, and yes, even the preaching, was fabulous. Maybe you were disappointed or even hurt by a prior church. Or you wanted the experience of a loving, welcoming community where everyone is accepted for who they are. Whatever the reason, I firmly believe that those of us who have walked through those doors and are here are firmly committed to making sure that St. Paul's is here, not just for those of us who are here, but for those of us who have yet to experience this wonderful, amazing community. So that then brings me to stewardship. Anyone who has been a member of the vestry knows how difficult it is when we get to the end of the year and have to start making, I know, dirty word, budgets. The budget that's a preliminary budget that the vestry has passed this year is a bare bones budget. There is no fluff in the budget. Trust me when I say that. It has been a bare bones budget for years. The vast majority of the income that St. Paul's has comes from each and every one of you. And that's why pledging is so important, because it allows us to formulate our budget. We can't do it without pledges, and we can't do it without you. This year, we have several goals for stewardship. One is that we get a pledge from each and every household this year. Whether it's $1 a week or $1,000 a week, each pledge is equally important. Yeah, there's no $1,000 a week pledge, by the way. But, you know, if any of you feel so inclined, please see me. I'm not matching it, though. We want to also reduce and eliminate our budget deficits. For the last several years, we've passed budgets that have budget deficits, which have required us to come up with very clever and unique ways to seek to balance that budget or reduce the deficit. I don't know about you, but how many of you want to see Bob Giolito do a striptease again in June? I love him dearly, though. We also want to reduce and eliminate our reliance on fundraisers to promote and to balance our budget. Those should be used for something else, for something special. We also have an endowment fund with an independent endowment board. We want to reduce our reliance on that so that the endowment can grow. as it's supposed to grow. And most importantly, what we want to do is to continue to fund and grow St. Paul's. All that brings us to this year's campaign.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I was going to rip off my sweater. This week, one of our visitors, someone you may very well know, will be calling you to schedule a visit between January 30th and February 10th. The visit can be at your home, at a coffee shop, or at the beach, whatever is comfortable for you. Just some place where you can have a quiet and relaxed conversation. If you prefer a bar, we suggest that a little later. Please accept and welcome their phone calls. Prayerfully prepare for your visit. I've made 3 visits myself so far, and they have been so rewarding. We've told stories, gotten to share what St. Paul's means to each of us, and we've gotten to know each other. The visitors have been trained to answer your questions about the stewardship process, our proposed budget, and the various methods of pledging that are available. So please, feel free to ask your questions. Most important, radically welcome each other and have a conversation. If we don't have information for you on record and you would like to be visited, please pick up a welcome card on your way out from one of our welcomers, Jeff Kohler and John Harris, at the back of the church on your way out. And we will be sure to get in touch with you. One call which many of you have already received is to simply invite you to our Commitment Sunday celebration on Sunday, February 11th. We just need to know if you'll be attending after the service, the time when we usually have coffee hour, so please RSVP to that call. There are now over 70 people involved in our stewardship campaign, visiting, making phone calls, stuffing envelopes and mailing, printing, and other tasks that make the campaign a true community effort. Thank you to them, and thanks to all of you.
The question that may be raised when we hear about giving is, how do I determine my pledge? The standard in the Episcopal Church is the biblical tithe, or 10% of our income. I'd like to suggest that we consider at least 3% of income and increase it each year by 1%. But whatever decision you make about your annual giving, please give as generously as possible and in proportion to your ability. And regardless of what you decide to give, I hope you will consider having a visit from a member of the community to share your experience and thoughts about this amazing place and what it stands for and what it means for you. These visits are not just about raising our awareness about financial support for the church. They are about forging relationships. At our leadership retreat last May, Mother Suzanne Willey strongly urged me to share my own personal testimony about my giving. Our stewardship consultant, Marianne Doyle, has recommended that as well. It is not something that is easy for me to share, but I've come to understand that it is important. When I was sent to Holy Trinity Church, Danbury, as its pastor back in 1975, my salary was $300 a month. I eked out a living from that, paying for a car loan, insurance, and the basic necessities of life, like eating, and still I managed to give $5 a week to the support of the church. I did that, and I continue to pledge because I believe so strongly in what we do, what we do here especially, and that as a spiritual leader, I must set an example. I'm in this with you, not apart from you. My pledge for 2018 is $25,500, which is 17% of my income. And I've made an increase over last year's pledge of $1,000. Now, I don't have kids to send to college, I'll grant you that. But I do have 2 needy, hungry chihuahuas. And I have a mortgage, taxes, which are high, and a car payment, and car insurance, and this year I had to put in a chimney liner in the house. So I know what it's like to live and to maintain one's home. I've increased my giving every year, and never, never have I gone without everything I need to live comfortably. Our giving together will support the core values of this faith community, proclaiming radical welcome, offering excellence in worship and music, building and sustaining a vibrant community and local community mission. Pledge income is fundamental to the budget. You hold the power to make a difference and to ensure that we don't compromise those core values. In Daily Facebook, Bishop Stephen Charleston, a Native American and Episcopal bishop, writes, "What comes next? The answer is we never know. No matter how smart we are, how carefully we have planned, or how much data we have gathered, we are still only mortals who can never control the future. We live in the now, in the eternally changing series of spaces we call the present. The now is where we shine. In the now, we can have impact, be creative, shape reality, build relationships that can withstand change. We can turn a moment into a memory, a glance into a promise, an idea into a vision that will last forever. Yes, we can if we do it together."